number 13. I was planning on preaching this tonight, but the Lord has changed my mind on this. I want to give this message this morning, and God willing, I'll be speaking on the tragedy and the shooting that took place this week in Colorado. I'll be speaking on that tonight. I hope you'll be back to hear that message and ask God to speak to your heart as you come. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin our reading in verse number 45. Matthew chapter 13. And verse number 45. Now I'm in the midst of a message that I began Wednesday night. And we're right in the middle of our study through this book of Matthew. And we've come to the parabolic teaching. We're teaching on the parables. And the name of this particular message is that one word, parables. And I'm giving you part two to this message this morning. If you want the first part of it, you can go back on Wednesday night and get that from off the internet, or you can call the church office, whichever way you want to do that. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse number 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now let's pray, and I'm giving you part two to this message on parables, and we'll proceed through this message. Father, we love you. Help us today to be filled with the power of God. If somebody's here this day that does not know you as Savior, I pray that you'll speak to their heart, convict them of their sin, show them that heaven is a real place and so is hell. And I pray that you help them to see their need of you and trust you today before it's eternally too late. Speak to your children, challenge us from your word. May the will of God be done in this service. Forgive our sins, help us to be clean now in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through the book of Matthew, we are currently right now in the middle of chapter number 13. Now this chapter brings out seven what's called parables in the Lord's teaching that shed light on the kingdom of heaven, which is all of professing Christianity today. In other words, these parables deal with what the Lord says the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Now it's important that you understand what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is not the same as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is only made up of born-again children of God. But the kingdom of heaven, you are living in it today. We're talking about professing Christendom. We're talking about what's called the church age. We're talking about this age where we're looking for the rapture of Jesus Christ. In this age, this is called the kingdom of heaven. And what it means that it's represented with those who are saved and those who are not. In this church building today, there's a possibility in this kingdom of heaven, we are part of the kingdom of heaven today, that there are those lost and there are those who are saved. Now in this, God is giving parables. And a parable is something that's cast along beside of a spiritual truth. It's an illustration. It's like a window looking into your home. In other words, when you look at the house, you can see that it's a house, but you see more clearly what's inside the house by looking through the windows. That's a parable. It's a story that Jesus gives to set it right beside of a truth that he's trying to get across, so as you hear the parable, that truth makes more sense to you, okay? Now that being the case, he's given us seven parables in this chapter. Now we've already given you five of these parables. Keep in mind now that what we've seen up to this point, We've noticed parable number one was the sowing of the seed. And in that, we saw there's four different pieces of ground. And in that particular parable, we see that our job is not to try to convert the world. Our job is to get the gospel to the world, sowing the seed of God's word and praying that it finds good ground. Parable number two was the parable of the tares found among the wheat. And in that we considered that not all who claim to be a Christian are truly a child of God. That the devil is in the business of planting his children in the midst of God's children. They're called imitators, just like tares would look like wheat until the fruit comes out. I've already preached on this. And yet there's coming a day when the tares will be separated from the wheat. We've already preached that one. Then we have preached beginning Wednesday night on the third parable, which was a grain of mustard seed. You can go back and get it. We preached on the leaven. You can go back and get it. We preached on the hidden treasure. You can go back and get it. I preached it on Wednesday night. You can get it there in depth, everything we were teaching, believing about this. Now we come to parable number six. Now, this is parable number four in this particular message, but this is parable number six if you're keeping notes, and it's found in verses 45 and 46. It's the parable of the pearl. The parable of the pearl. Let's read it again, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven, professing Christendom, talking about those that are saved, those that are not, they're living together today. I'm talking about in the same world, same time. That is like, now notice that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now this parable that's brought out today about the kingdom of heaven, parable number six, is being like a merchant man seeking beautiful and valuable pearls, who ends up finding one pearl of great price. Now, when he found this one great pearl, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that one pearl. Now, just like we believe the hidden treasure in verse 44 is the nation of Israel, we believe that this one pearl of great price is the church of Jesus Christ. We know that this merchant man was the one searching for pearls. See, some people try to make the one pearl a great price, Jesus Christ. But if that's the case, that means we were searching for him and we did not search for him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We see here that this merchant man is who we believe is Jesus Christ himself. He was searching for pearls. And basically here, we see that the pearls were not searching for him. He was searching for the pearls. Now, when he found this one great pearl of great price, he sold everything he had to buy that one pearl. Now, we need to be reminded. Now, what I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about this local church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. I'm talking about those who are saved. If you are saved today, you are part of the church. You are part of the true church. What I'm saying is just because you're part of a local church does not mean you're part of the real church. I'm telling you that you must be born again. You must be saved, not be on the church roster, not get baptized. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If that's the case in your life, you are part of this one great pearl. And it's interesting that the Bible says that when the man found it, he gave everything he had to buy it. And we need to be reminded of the price that Jesus Christ paid to purchase the church. He gave all that he had to buy you and me. He gave everything he had to purchase you and me. He shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. Praise his holy name today. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed, bought with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's an exalted privilege today to be a part of the one true church. It's an exalted privilege to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. It's an exalted privilege to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ, that one day will be married to our heavenly bridegroom. His name is Jesus Christ. If you're a part of this one pearl of great price, now listen, if you're not part of it, you can become part of it today. But if you are part of it, do you know what's a great study and a blessing? To study the pearl. You ever done a Bible study on the pearl? I'm talking about, have you ever thought about how a pearl is formed? Because God said that His church is just like a pearl. Let me give you some thoughts about the pearl. I'm getting excited about these thoughts just thinking about it. Because if you're saved, this is you. Number one, under this is parable number six, the pearl. The pearl being the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, born again children of God, within this kingdom of heaven, where there are tares, where there are bad soils, there are also good soils. There are also God's children here. And if you're God's child, you're part of the one pearl of great price that He gave His whole life for. He gave everything He had to purchase it. Now let's do this Bible study on the pearl. Number one, it comes from a living organism. It comes from a living organism. Now you take diamonds, you take other stones, but friends, the pearl is different. It's the only precious stone that comes from something living. Are you listening to me? It comes from an oyster that's alive. And in the same way, the church doesn't come from a dead Savior. The church comes from a living Savior. It comes from Jesus Christ, who is alive forevermore. Secondly, the pearl is formed from common material. Say, what do you mean? You know what a pearl begins with? Some kind of common material, like a grain of sand. That's it, just a grain of sand. Yet that grain of sand, over time, becomes a beautiful pearl. And I'm telling you, this is exactly what the Lord does with His children. He takes common people, were made of the dust of the earth, and He turns them into a beautiful stone of great value. Number three, it's a product of suffering and death. Let me tell you this. What happens is the grain of sand will embed itself into the shell of an oyster, and that sand becomes an awful irritant and intruder into the oyster's life. The oyster begins to secrete a substance that is really the life of the oyster. And it's been said, and I quote, get this, as the oyster produces this substance, it is really the life's blood of the oyster that is being given out to form the pearl. As the substance is secreted, it finds its way around this tiny grain of sand that causes great suffering to the oyster. This suffering is not simply from the sand being in the shell. In other words, that sand hurts it. That sand causes the oyster pain. So to ease the pain, it begins to secrete this life substance. It begins to secrete its own life's blood to cover it. Man, that's good right there. Glory. All I'm saying to you is that it's doing that. And I'm saying that this suffering is not simply just from sand being in the shell, but from the very life of the oyster being given out as this substance is secreted from the pearl. I'm talking about to form the pearl. Finally, the oyster has its life taken as this substance is secreted to form the pearl. If that's not an accurate picture of what Jesus did, I don't know what is, friends. I'm talking about something from the outside penetrated it, irritated it, caused great pain, caused great suffering, but yet the lifeblood of the oyster covered that and turns it into a beautiful pearl of great price. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We're just noticing the pearl today. It's not the last one, but we're noticing it here. The pearl of great price is the church of Jesus Christ. It's those who are born again. It's those who are truly saved. It's not the tares, it's the wheat. It's not the thorny ground, it's the good ground. And those people who make that up are part of the one pearl of great price. A pearl comes from a living thing. A pearl is formed from just common, ordinary material. A pearl is the product of the oyster suffering and the oyster finally giving its life. But number four, it's formed, now get this, when the irritant is covered over with what comes from the oyster only. This is kind of a continuation of this thought. But as I told you that a foreign object pierces the oyster, whereupon the creature buries the irritation under layers and layers of secretion. And what that creature secretes to cover that sand is what forms the pearl. And the Lord Jesus Christ was giving his life's blood on Calvary. His blood was coming out of his body, precious blood, holy blood. Are you telling me? Listen to me. There are some people that are trying to teach you that the death of Christ that remits sin. That's a tricky thing, because that's not all the truth. Did it take Christ dying? Yes. But excuse me, if he'd have got run over by a camel and stepped on and died, there's no remission of sin. The Bible says without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The secretion that was coming out and that comes out of the oyster is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. His life's blood coming out, and just like that one common piece of ordinary sand is covered over with that secretion that forms the pearl. When you trust Christ as your Savior, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and life, when you believe on Him with all of your heart, I'm telling you that the blood of Christ comes and covers you and washes your sin and forms a great pearl. I'm telling you that a pearl is formed only when the irritant is covered over by the life's blood of the oyster. And in the same way, you are only going to be part of the great pearl if you have the righteousness of Christ covering your sin. Amen. Number five, I like the pearl. I think the Lord knew what He was doing when He likened His children to a pearl. Let me give you a fifth thing about it. It forms over a long period of time. It's not going to form overnight. Are you listening? It's been thousands of years that the Lord has been forming His church. One day He's going to present it to Himself without spot, without wrinkle, without tarnish. A pearl doesn't form overnight. It takes time. And what I'm saying to you, you know it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. We have dear saints of God from this church that's gone on to be with the Lord. I think about my great-granddaddy, Brian Wheelock, taught Sunday school in this church. He was here when you came, right, preacher? My great-granddaddy, can you imagine that? I'm pastoring the church where my great-granddaddy taught Sunday school. I'm telling you, he's been with Jesus for several years. But you know the great thing? You know what it is? He's part of the same pearl I am. It takes time to form this pearl. Let me give you the last thing. There's so many things we can say about the pearl. Let me just give you the last, because if not, I'm going to be here from now until the trumpet sounds maybe. which could be any moment, by the way. It cannot rust or tarnish with time. It takes time to form it, but time doesn't tarnish it. And time doesn't rust it. In other words, it's as good today as it was 100 years ago. And may I say this to you? It means it's forever beautiful. You know how long the Church of the Living God is going to be beautiful? Forever and ever and ever and ever. It will never decrease in value. Never. Never. Now, while we can rejoice in these similarities about the pearl, and if you're saved, you're part of it. If you're not, you can be part of it today. He's still forming it. Well, how do I know that? Because the rapture hasn't taken place. He's still forming this pearl. And there's still an entry point for you if you want it today. But while we can rejoice in this, let us consider that the Bible specifically says he didn't find two pearls. He found one. You know what that means? This reminds us that the Church of the Living God is made up of Jews and Gentiles alike. Gentiles, now get this, Jews and Gentiles both help make up the one pearl of great price. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 4 to 6, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That means placed into the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. So we see the parable of the one pearl of great price is a parable concerning the Church of the Living God. Those who are truly saved, those who are born again, those who are not tares or bad ground, but the good ground and the true wheat, those who know Jesus help make up the one pearl of great price. Then we go to the last of these parables, and it's the parable in verses 47 to 50 of what we call the dragnet. Now, let's read it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the final parable in this chapter, again about the kingdom of heaven, those in professing Christendom, those who are saved, those who are not, living in the same world. He said that it's like a net that is cast into the sea, and it gathers all kinds of things. Isn't that interesting? That in this, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. I'm talking about sowing the seed and the wheat and tares. He's talking about the gospel, I'm talking about true Christianity, false Christianity. Isn't it interesting that he ends with a dragnet, that as the net is being dragged through the water, it gathers all kinds of things? It's interesting, isn't it? It gathers good things and bad things. In other words, all kinds of people try to come under the net of it. And yet it says this, when the net was full, and one day it will be full. And when the net was full, it was brought to shore where the angels sorted through the good fish that were put into a certain vessel, and the bad and all the other things were thrown away. The Lord then shared how this is how it will be in the end of the world. The angels will come and sever the wicked from among the just. The wicked will be cast into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now there's differences of opinion again with this about when is the end of the world? What's he talking about? Is he talking about the end of the church age? Is he talking about the end of the tribulation period? Here's what I'm saying to you. Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 to 46 seems to be talking about the end of the tribulation period. However, let me tell you this. We see in this parable, now listen to me. Don't get caught up on the what ifs of Scripture. Don't get caught up, well, I'll tell you one thing. I believe it's the end of the rapture. I believe it's the end of I think it's the end of the tribulation. I'm gonna sever ties with you if you don't agree with me. Don't do that, friends. What is God saying here? Let me tell you something. Here's how the Lord spoke to me. The drawing of the net, no question about it, to me, is the preaching of the gospel. And as it's preached, there are all kinds of things coming in. Tares, wheat, thorny ground, stony ground, good ground, all the way through. It's in context. But not all gathered receive the Lord as their Savior. Not all that come under the sound of the gospel will respond right to it. But there's coming a day, a great reckoning day. And what I'm saying to you is that if you, now listen to me, this applies whether this literal parable applies to the end of the tribulation, the rapture, whatever, this truth still applies. You listening to me? That if you are truly saved and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have a bright future ahead of you. But if you're not, if you're an imitator, if you're a tare instead of a wheat, if you're any other ground except for good ground, your future is a furnace of fire where there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. What I'm saying to you is there's going to be a day of great separation, even at the rapture that's going to take place. Even at the end of the tribulation that's going to take place. And the truth applies no matter which one. This one's literally teaching that there's a separation going to take place. The good, doesn't talk about good in yourself, talking about those that are right, those that are born again, those that are true Christians, they will be placed in one place while everything else will be thrown into the furnace of fire. So really this is a word of warning. Preaching on hell is not popular today. Preaching on the lake of fire and the furnace of fire is not popular today. And there's many people who will not do it. There are prominent people who are in the national eye who will try to tell you that all roads lead home. That the Mormons will make it, the Catholics will make it, the Baptists will make it, the Jehovah's Witnesses will make it. We'll all finally reach the pearly gates. That is anti-scriptural. That is a lie from the devil himself. And that is heresy, and that teaching sends people to a place of fire. You know what somebody who loves you is going to do? They're going to give it to you straight. And they're going to tell you what the truth is. And Jesus pulled no punches. Jesus did not try to sugarcoat it. Jesus said, there's coming a day when my angels are going to separate the good from the bad, and if the good ones, I'm talking about the good ones, have a great future, but the bad ones, they're going to burn alive. I didn't say it, God did. And if any man tries to tell you something that the Bible doesn't say, let every man be a liar, friends. God said there's a real place of fire. And that's why if we're saved, we can learn some things here. If you're lost, that's your home. If you're saved, let us help fish for the souls of men. Because there will be some who trust Him as Savior. Will most trust Him? No. Will all trust Him? No. But some will. Let me tell you why we're going to Chile. We're taking a dragnet with us. We're taking the seed of the gospel, also known as a dragnet, And we're going to throw it into the sea and pray that God will reap a harvest. But I'm saying to you today, make sure that even though you're under the sound of the gospel message, you are in the net. You understand? You're following what I'm saying. Even though you're in the net, you're hearing the gospel, make sure that you're a good fish. I'm not talking about your attitude, your actions. I'm talking about make sure you are saved. What a terrible thing it would be for the Lord to come back right now and you are severed for eternity and thrown into the furnace of fire. Now let me conclude this and we're done. The Lord, through all of these parables, showed how the kingdom of heaven going on today, all of professing Christendom, true believers, non-believers living in the same world at the same time. Within it, he's teaching us through these parables in this chapter that there's a mingling, a mixing of true and false. There's wheat and there are tares. There's good ground and there is bad ground. And we see several thoughts in these parables, but here's the main one. Make sure you are saved. Make sure you know the Lord as your Savior. Don't rely on, well, I prayed something years ago, but it never changed my life. My mom told me I got saved. My brother said he remembers when I walked the aisle. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt. Please, you know my heart by now. Doubts are two of the devil, you understand? I'm not trying to get you to doubt, but I'm also trying to help you see something. Jesus said you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. The parables of the kingdom emphasize the fact, make sure you're wheat, make sure you're good ground, make sure you're good fish. Don't be caught off guard. Then I close with this. Verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. The Lord had his disciples at this time in a house in private. And when he was giving these parables, he said, do you understand all these things? And they said, yea, Lord, I have a hard time believing that. Okay? Because we don't even understand all of it. They said, oh, yes, we got it, Lord. We got it. And after that, he gives verse 52, and here's what he's saying. He says, those who've been instructed with these truths, which were them, must be faithful to bring them out. In other words, we have a responsibility. This is what verse 52 is teaching. We have a responsibility to bring forth what we know the Word of God teaches, whether it's old, that means past, or whether it's new, that means future. Let us be faithful to lift our voices in spreading the truths of God's Word to this world, which needs Him so desperately. He's saying, in a nutshell, you understand these truths? The tares among the wheat, the bad ground, the good ground. You understand all these things, the mustard seed, the great pearl of great price. You got it, you get it, the dragnet, you're getting what I'm teaching you. Okay, I realize some of this is new to you. But I want you to take the old that you know is true, the new that you know is true, and give it to others. He's calling for world evangelism. And may God help every child of God to see their responsibility. Here's what I'm saying. If you don't want to be responsible for giving the truth that's preached from this pulpit, don't come. You say, wait, trying to run me off? No, I'm not trying to run you off. But the more you come, the more responsibility you have. Because if you hear it and you know it's truth, He's told you, give it out. Now, if you're not here next week, I won't be either, but I'm going to say, who was here, who was not? I'm kidding with you there, okay? By the way, is it not a privilege to be able to tell somebody else about Jesus? Is it not a privilege to tell somebody else that there's a day coming when the separation is going to take place. Isn't it a great privilege to tell somebody you can be a part of the one pearl of great price? May God help us to see our responsibility and to act upon it. Okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us today. May the will of God be done. Show us, guide, lead, and direct us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm preparing for the invitation. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. In this message on these parables, here's the first question I have for you. Are you truly a part of the one pearl of great price? Do you know that you are wheat instead of tares? Are you good ground instead of any other ground? In the dragnet, are you a good fish? I'm not talking about your attitudes, your actions. I'm not asking, are you doing right? I'm talking about salvation, trusting Christ as your Savior. Christ and Christ alone, believing on Jesus Christ. If you're here today and say, Jody, I am glad that if the Lord came today, I'm glad that I am saved. I am born again. I'm not playing games. I'm not fooling around. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm not relying on my baptism. I'm not relying on my good works. I'm not relying on my church membership. I'm relying on Christ's work on Calvary, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I've trusted Him and Him alone. Have you know without a doubt that you are saved, you're born again, you are wheat, you are good ground, you are part of the great pearl. You know that without a doubt. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. Thank you. You can put your hands down. It's a great thing to be able to raise your hand to that, isn't it? Praise the Lord. But is there one today say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. I'd like to, but I couldn't. I'd like to be a part of the great pearl. I'd like to be a wheat instead of a tare. I'd like to be good ground instead of bad ground. I'd like to know that in the drag net that I'm a good fish. It's going to be taken to the place of glory instead of thrown into the furnace of fire. So somebody here say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. Put your hand up, put it right back down. You say, pray for me. I'd like to know Jesus. God bless you. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. Good. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I've not been very faithful fishing for men. Thank God I'm wheat. Thank God I'm part of the pearl. Thank God for that. But when you're talking about fishing for men, even though all of them won't say yes and a lot of them will say no, I still see my responsibility to get the gospel out. And you say, pray for me that I would begin to do that. Have you convicted in that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Let's all stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it in a great way. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're not saved and you'd like for us to take a Bible and share with you the gospel, you come. If you want to come, ask God to help you. Be the soul winner that you need to be. Come, talk to God about it. Brother Mike, if you wouldn't mind to begin to sing. As soon as he begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you come? Come now, would you do that?
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you now.
They're playing through softly. Those that are getting baptized, I want to go ahead and dismiss you. I think we've got three to baptize today. You can go ahead and be dismissed. The instruments are playing. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for the offering, please. You may be seated if you're standing right now.
Offering, come forward, please. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many bountiful blessings, Lord. Thank you for the messages, Lord. Thank you for the great promises you have for the believers, Lord. If there's any that are not saved in this sanctuary, Lord, just continue to convict their hearts, Lord, and help them realize that they're a sinner in need of you, Lord. We pray for Clifford Page and his family during this time, that you'll just be with them as we continue with this service and those that are being baptized, Lord. Just be with them, be with the pastor as he baptizes those that have come forward, Lord. Also be with the gift and the giver during the offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Savior. They've asked him to come to their heart and forgive their sin. And
they've been dealt with in that area, so praise the Lord for that. And I remind you that this baptismal water has no saving power. It's just a picture. It's all, in other words, if they never get baptized, they're still going to heaven, some glorious day. But they're following the Lord's command in this. And through this, the Lord can bless their life. It's like a wedding ring. This ring doesn't make me married, but it's an outward symbol that I am a married man. And I shouldn't be ashamed to put it on, you see. The water crosses our body like the cross where Jesus died. By taking below the water, that's a picture of the burial of Jesus Christ, the death and burial. I bring him up, that's a picture of the resurrection of Christ. And they're saying that they've accepted him as their Lord and Savior. We're going to be baptizing Travis Phipps Jr. Kayla DeGroat, Denisha DeGroat, and also Doug Deacons is following the Lord in believers' baptism today. We're excited about all this. Could I get the pleasure of the church that we accept all four of these? Brother Mark, a second. Brother Scott, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. So carry, I like it. This is Denisha DeGroat. Denisha, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
God bless you.
Just stay right there. This is Travis Phipps Jr. I like it. He got saved. Praise the Lord, Travis. Amen. Amen. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. This is Kayla DeGroat and Denisha. These are two sisters. Isn't this great? So we're just going to get a picture right here, right quick. God bless you. Okay. This is Kayla DeGroat. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. Proud of Doug. Amen. Doug's doing a great job with the buses. His daddy's not doing too much. I'm kidding with you out there. Anyway, this is Doug Deacons. If you insist. On your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Proud of all of them. Thank the Lord for it. Brother Doug was saved years ago, but had never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Big day for Doug Deacons. Praise the Lord for it. These two sisters, Travis Phipps Jr., we rejoice in God's goodness to them. Let's be back tonight, and I remind you, all the deacons at 5:30, and I remind you about the message tonight, if God will let me preach it, on this shooting that took place in Colorado tonight at 6:30. Okay, let's all stand. I'm going to ask Brother Mike, if you wouldn't mind, just to go right back to the podium there and dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.
Let us pray. Dear Father, we again thank you for this day. Lord, pray that you will be with the victims from the Colorado shooting. Lord, just help their families, give them strength and encouragement during this time of the need. Lord, be with the Chili Trip as they prepare to go. Lord, just bless that trip, and Lord, help them to spread forth your message and gospel, Lord, and pray that there will be many saved. Thank you again. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.